Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we come to part 3 of 3, looking at this brochure, Shepherding the Sheep at Bethlehem Parma. Thinking about the first two parts and thinking about what I'm going to say today, these are some super important things for each one of our lives in Christ. So I hope you have gone through the other parts already. If you missed them, they are available online. There are printed copies available in the narthex, but I believe these things are important whether you're a member at Bethlehem or whether you're any Christian anywhere. I think these are very important things for pastors and for all of us who are in Christ. May God help us to get it, believe it, and gladly put such things into practice. Getting to our first topic today, I want to talk a little bit about relationship basics. So think about a relationship you have with anyone, a friend, a neighbor, a family member. There is respect and there is communication. If you're lacking one or the other, there really is no relationship. So when we apply that then to our relationship with God, we want to think about listening to God first, and then talking to God second. When it comes to listening to God, we're thinking about that passage in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is inspired by God, or more literally, all scripture is God-breathed, coming right out of the mouth of God. If we are talking and we hold our hand here, we can feel breath coming out of our mouth. God wants us to understand that what he has given us here is his holy word. Think about this for a moment. This is so incredibly awesome that the Almighty God, who made and sustains the world, he wants us to have his very word. And think how blessed we are here in the United States of America that we all have a copy of that word, where at any time we can open it and God is speaking to us. I mean, we are so much nothing in comparison to God, but yet he made us. He loves us, he's speaking to us, and he wants us to open his word. He wants us to gladly listen to what he is saying. And then after we hear from him, he wants us to respond back to him. And how do we do that? We do that through prayer. So a key passage on the topic of prayer is in 1 Timothy 2:5, where it says, for there is one God and one mediator, also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Many of you have seen this diagram before, but just think about it briefly for a moment. So when we look at it, we can see we have God the Father near the top, we have Christ in the middle, we have the Holy Spirit down, kind of with us at the bottom. But notice with the praying hands how we have a line going right up to the red line, and that would indicate people trying to go to God apart from Christ. How many people in the world today even say, oh, I believe in God, however, though, I reject Jesus? God wants us to know that doesn't work. Think about what Jesus said to his own disciples in Luke chapter 11. He said to them, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So it's impossible to have a relationship with God, to go to God in prayer, apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one mediator. He is the one go-between between us and God. So when you look at the diagram and you see the cross on the red line, it is Jesus who has broken the barrier of sin. Only through him can we go to the Father in prayer. Only through him can we be with God forever. So many important things there. When I think about having a relationship routine, I want to give you two suggestions here. First of all, you could take a look at our daily devotion brochure that's in the rack by the door. But for Kathy and I, we have followed what is in the daily devotion brochure for the last 30-some years. And it's been a blessing to us. We've been through the Bible a number of times, and we do it in a particular way where we are reading, we are writing, we are praying, and we are reviewing. These are all like important things of the whole process. And as we do that more and more, we become more familiar with what the Bible is teaching, and we are convicted by the Holy Spirit, and we are trying to repent of our sins, and we're wanting to honor God in our lives. And this is just a process. More and more, you can use this process for the rest of your life. And then I wanted to mention the other brochure here called Christian. It's one I wrote maybe even 15, 20 years ago, but at the time, I skimmed through the entire Bible, and I identified what I thought at the time were 49 of the most important things to read in the Bible. Sometimes it's a shorter section, sometimes it's an entire chapter, but I identified 49 of them, and all the references are laid out in this brochure called Christian. So I would challenge anyone. You might say, oh, Pastor, this is too big of a book. I don't want to read all of that. Well, how about picking what I think are the 49 most important readings, and you could read one each day for the next 7 weeks, and you could get some really important information as to what is contained in God's holy word. I'm thinking after you did that, you might say, you know, I'm going to start at the beginning and now I'm going to go all the way through. In the second part here today, we're talking about seeking first God's kingdom. So I think I mentioned in part one of this series how I kind of put God on the back burner, and I thought I would come back to him later, and I needed to get my own stuff in order, and I found out that doesn't work. Seeking first God's kingdom, I think about here what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. This is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then what did he promise? And all these things shall be added to you. What are the things? In a sense, the things are our food, our clothing, our shelter. So I've seen people put their food, clothing, and shelter first, and they put Christ kind of in the back, and they think that is kind of a normal thing, but that is not at all what God is saying. And what ends up happening, people so much put this stuff first that they even forget about Jesus, and they even become disconnected from Jesus. Now, some people might say, oh, wait a minute now. If I put my relationship with God in Christ first in my life, what if God doesn't come through on his promise? What if I put all my eggs in this basket, and then I'm over here, and I don't have my food, my clothing, or my shelter? Is that ever going to happen? No way. We have a promise of the Almighty God. He's going to do what he said. But what does it require, though? It requires us to step out in faith and to follow what the Bible says. That's what we're getting at here. I made the comment in the brochure. I said, let us stop letting the temporary things of this life hinder or even destroy our membership in God's kingdom. I've seen it happen to so many. May it not happen to you and me. And then here in Luke chapter 9, these words are very similar to what I read today in the gospel reading. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Those are three critical things, and you can see the word must. It's not a may, it is a must. That's what I was getting at a little bit earlier with the comment that I made. Now, to deny, to take up, and to follow, let's understand these are radical things. But Jesus wants us to know that only a few are actually going to make it through this life and end with Jesus Christ and be with God forever. I don't think it's going to be the 2.5 billion. If you look up on the internet how many Christians are there in the world, you're going to get a number of about 2.5 billion. I don't think anywhere near that number are really denying, taking up, and following. On the idea of it only being a few, we go here to Matthew chapter 7. This is right toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it." So many people in the world, they're like on this, maybe on this 8-lane superhighway, all going in the same direction, and actually they take a little bit of comfort thinking, well, here I am going in this direction, and look at all these other people too, and because we're all doing it, it kind of seems like the right thing, and they just keep going. Jesus is saying to us, if many other people are going in the same direction as we are, we're probably not going in the right direction. But then he continues and says, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." God wants everyone to find it, but let's understand we live in a world of great deception. So many people think they have found it. Many people think they have it, and yet they are deceived. God is saying to us, don't be deceived. How are we not deceived? We have to be in the Word, and if we are deceived, God will show us, and God will open our eyes, and God will reunite us to Jesus Christ. So when we're in the Word, everything is going to be fine, and we're apart from the Word, we can so easily be deceived. Sadly, many make the wrong choices all the time. Let's not be in that category. Let's be among the few who are, on one hand, understanding our sin and what we deserve, but we are so happy, on the other hand, that we have Jesus, that we are forgiven, that we are heaven bound, and now we have this desire to want to choose life, to choose God's way for his glory and even for our temporal and eternal benefit. In the final part here, the order of faith and works, so I think you know this very well, such common passages here for us as Lutherans, but notice what it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast." So let's look at it more carefully, though. So, "for by grace." Grace is so important. So what is grace? Grace is this favor that God is showing to us. But let's keep in mind, it is undeserved. I do not deserve it. You don't deserve it. Nobody can deserve it. It doesn't matter how many times we read the Bible. It doesn't matter how many times we go to church or how much money we give or how much we help our neighbor. We cannot deserve God's favor. The Bible says God is love. So God loves us. God shows favor to us, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. It's so important that we know that, because it's so easy to get into the idea that somehow I'm a decent person, and for that reason, God is showing me favor. It just isn't so. So, "for by grace you have been saved, and we have been saved through faith." So what is faith? I think this is one of the big deceptions in the world today. You've heard me talk about taking the word faith and making a word out of each letter, forsaking all, I trust him, or the word cat with a K, and we have the three ingredients of faith, knowledge, agreement, and trust. I think those are important ways to look at it, but let's look at it a different way. So when we have faith, That means that we have trust, but not just trust. Anytime we have trust, there has to be something that we are trusting in. So when we think about saving faith, we have trust, and Jesus Christ, he's the object of our trust. So our trust is in him. Do we have saving faith now? No, we don't. So we have trust. We have trust in him. But why is it that we are trusting in him? We are trusting in him for eternal life, or for the forgiveness of our sins, or for our entrance into heaven. So that is saving faith. Again, I think people, they might say they have faith. They might even say they have faith in Jesus. But do they have faith in Jesus for eternal life? That's what the Bible is talking about here. So this faith, it's not of ourselves. So it's not like, oh, here I am reading the Bible, and God showed me the truth that, okay, I'm a sinner, and Jesus is the Son of God, he's the Savior. And now, from myself, I got this faith that I put in Jesus. Is that how it works? It doesn't. So faith, even faith itself, the very thing we need to benefit from Jesus, even faith itself is a gift from God. We don't have it. We can't somehow make it up within us. We have to receive it from God as a gift. That's what it's saying here. It is the gift of God. So the salvation is a gift from God, and the faith is a gift from God. That's all packed in here. So it is not as a result of works, so that none of us can boast. There's nothing I can say that would be like, hey guys, I'm going to heaven, and let me tell you what I did in order to get on that path to heaven, in order to stay on that path to heaven. No, it's not like that. I can only boast in my Lord Jesus Christ, in who he is, and in what he has done for me and for you. We can only boast in him. So what follows that then? A lot of times we know these verses here, but maybe we don't know verse 10 so much, but it's so important to put them all together. So we're talking about the order of faith and works. God has brought us to Christ, saved us in Christ, and then it says, for we are God's workmanship, he created us in Christ Jesus. So just as God created the world, God created us. So God made us his holy child. God brought us into his family. God brought us into his kingdom. We are God's workmanship. He created us in Christ Jesus. So it was through Christ, through his work, that he made us his holy children. And notice why he did it. He did it for the purpose of good works. Sometimes we might get the idea and say, well, okay, I know I was a sinner, and I know now through Jesus I'm forgiven. And then we think we're kind of like, okay, I'm good. I'm on my way to heaven, and now I can kind of just do my own thing. But that should never be the thought, though. Think about it again. He created us in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works. So it doesn't matter what age we are. Well, maybe for Ezekiel, he's not ready to do a good work yet. However, though, God has things planned for him, for sure. But once we get a little bit older than Ezekiel, God wants us to understand that he has made plans for us. We should not be asking, what do I want to do? Rather, we should be asking the Lord, Lord, what is your plan for me? What is your plan for my vocation? What is your plan as to how I might serve here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church? What is your plan as to how I might serve my neighbor or members of my family? God wants us to ask what his will is. He's got it all figured out. And the more we understand that God has a plan, the more that we are open to that plan, God will impress it upon us. And when we know it and follow it, that's going to be a wonderful thing. So he prepared these things beforehand God's not figuring them out right on the spot. He prepared them beforehand so that we would walk in them. So he lays out the plan, and he wants us to follow the plan. May God help us to understand he saved us for this purpose. So let's rejoice that we are saved, and let us be open to knowing and following his plan for our lives. Coming toward the end here, it's a little bit of a review of some of the things I've said already, but God is calling us to have a daily conversation with him, listening to him through the Bible, talking to him through prayer, keeping Jesus first, saying no to our will and yes to his for our lives, continuing as Jesus' repentant sheep. I talked about this in an earlier part of the series, how it's important that we keep living in godly sorrow, that we keep trusting in Jesus alone for eternal life, and we keep trying to align our lives more and more with his holy word, that we would respond to the teaching of the under shepherd. So I need to do my own study first. It's important that I respond to the word of God, and then I'm trying to share it with you in the most careful way that I can, and I'm hoping and praying that you will hear it, that you will understand it, that you will believe it, and that you will apply it. That will give me joy, and I think that will be a great blessing to you as well. And then finally, that we would seek and do what God has planned for each of our lives. Is that always going to be easy? It's not. Is God able to work anything through me or through you? He can. So we should never say God can't. So let us be open to God's ability to do anything through any one of us. I hope you know that I want your best now and forever. I've tried to say that as I've worked my way through this brochure. I hope you know that now, and if you're not quite sure, let's talk about it. Coming right to the end here, so how can I help you? Well, if you look on the back of a sermon copy or in your service folder or even on the back of the brochure, there's a block, and that block has a number of ways that you can respond to this series. So you can take a look at it on your own, and if you have a response, you're welcome to follow up on that. And then finally, you can pick up a copy of the new brochure. They're available in the back. I hope that you'll pick one up and read through the series again, maybe discuss it at home and see how God is guiding you in order to function as a child of God and as a member here of Bethlehem Lutheran Church. With all that said, let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your Son to be the Good Shepherd and making us his sheep. Keep us mindful moment by moment, day by day. Keep us mindful of who we are, your holy children. Keep drawing us closer to our Good Shepherd. Keep us daily in your holy word and move us to honor you in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.